Welcome to the Littlest Hobo Media Spew for April. My name is Marina Antunes of Roll3.com and QuietEarth.us, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, the Invincible.
Dale from Digital Doodles with a blogpost.com.
Holy shit.
I know, right?
This shit's for real, man. We're back.
You know what my last post
going
was?
Going old school.
Do I want to know?
You do.
Okay.
It has your photo.
Oh, shit.
It was like Whistler 2014.
Oh, wow.
Were we all wearing really stupid hats?
I would have been something weird, of course. Wow.
I should say a photo that you took, not an actual picture of you.
Oh, okay. Was it us at, like, Zonks?
No, it was the banner.
The
you took this kind of nice-ish picture of the Whistler Film Festival banner.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I believe it.
Whistler is all just a blur of stuff now.
I mean, it was
now.
2014.
So. Yeah, it's true. All right. We got stuff to talk about, right?
We do.
We've been watching shit. I've been watching a lot of stuff. I've been catching up. I've
been watching way too much stuff, but it's been fun.
Okay.
I've been sleeping a lot.
I've been doing that, too.
Oh, and I actually finished a damn book.
Woohoo!
I know.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some stuff. Where do we want to start? Movies, TV?
Books.
Sure.
Since it's the first thing I wrote down.
Sure.
And Dale just mentioned it. I read Terry Pratchett's Young Readers series, I Shall Wear the Midnight, which I quite like. It's the young witch, Agnes Tiffany or something.
Oh, right. Tiffany,
yeah.
Tiffany Aching, isn't it?
Aching's, that's right. Tiffany Aching's. Yeah, it's pretty good. I recommend it. Like all Terry Pratchett things, you pretty much can't go wrong. Especially the older you get, the more current books. Yeah, it's all good. And I picked up a copy of The Catcher in the Rye, which I haven't read since I was in probably junior high. So,
what possessed you?
I saw it at Value Village for $1.99. I went, all right, I'm going to read
happening.
Catcher in the Rye again.
That works.
And better than Moby Dick.
There certainly is that.
There's my two books.
I have a copy of Machiavelli's The Prince, but I haven't finished it, that I picked up at like Value Village for...
Wow, that's ambitious reading right there.
I kind of like that. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
Oh, no, I certainly haven't read it. What you got? I know you said you read a book.
I don't know where I picked it up, but I found it in the pile. Mask Theory by Jack Vance. First Jack Vance I read. He's some big sci-fi author.
Yeah, I was going to say the name sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, like, it's funny. I've seen his stuff all over the bookstores, but this is the first novel I read. It has a little bit of a dated feel. I can't tell exactly why, but I enjoyed it. It was fun, and it was a fast read, and it's always fun. Like, I finished it in a day. I started at lunchtime, put it down, did some work, and then finished it in the evening. And I don't know. There's just, when you get a book that's good enough that you can read it like that,
yeah,
it always feels good when you're done. So
exactly.
That was good. I also read Clear Your Clutter with Feng Shui.
You actually read it?
I read it.
I thought you were just showing it to us.
A friend lent it to me.
My asshole friend lent me this book, you see.
It actually, there was some practical advice inside all of the spiritualism, which I mean, I'm kind of an agnostic, so I took a lot of that with a grain of salt. Some of it just was like a little bit too fantastical, but the practical advice was actually pretty good practical advice, so...
There you go. Whatever works, man.
And I think there's a grain of salt to some of the other advice, so it all worked. Although this book was seriously, like, when they say clear your clutter, it wasn't just like your physical clutter. She's recommending a like enema, like clear your internal clutter, take a herbal colonic, and like I didn't go that far.
Wow, that's quite something.
She just wants everything clean.
It's like the Japanese woman where, you know, if it doesn't spark joy.
She talked about, some of the same advice. This came way before that book, I think.
Yes.
It's not a new book. The other interesting thing, though, was some of the other things I read there. I'm one of those people, like, I will read a lot of stuff on something, but it takes me like 20 years before I do it. In the case of cleaning my clutter, because I'm on a big spring clean binge right now, but I used to watch a TV show called Neat, which was all about, it was a reality show about cleaning, like she'd just go into like a disaster zone and clean it up. So I, you know, all the facts were there. It's taken me this long to get off my ass and
do it.
And then the advice matched a lot of that that advice that I've read other places.
See, I need a book that says basically how to organize your bunker.
So they are out there.
The survivalist books, I'm sure.
I have copies of Firefox Foxfire. Oh, if you God. Want them.
Jesus Christ.
I'm more worried about them somehow finding out where my bunker is.
On a lighter note, I actually did finally finish something.
Yay!
It's been sitting on my nightstand for, I'm not even joking, probably like 6 months, if not longer. If I looked at Goodreads, it would tell me.
It's crazy, because you used to be the readaholic.
Yeah, and yeah. The movies take up so much time, yeah. And I try to sleep on the train in the mornings. that cuts like there's my 30 minutes of reading every day.
Yep.
But I had started reading Wonder Woman Earth 1 Volume 1 like I think sometime in late last year, and I read maybe like 5 pages of it, and I put it down on my nightstand, and it's been sitting there ever since. And every once in a while when I get into reading, I just leave it there and I read something else. So I finally sat down and I read the whole damn thing.
Nice.
And it was okay. Well, the art's really nice. I probably won't read volume 2, which is a little bit disappointing because I really like Wonder Woman. But alas, it's still an interesting read, so I will pass it along to somebody that will appreciate it. But yeah, that's what I read. And I'm currently reading Injection, which is fucking awesome, and I think Colleen, you will love it.
So Injection?
It's called... don't bother, I'll give it to you when I'm done. It's pretty good. I think you'll appreciate it.
Cool.
And that's all I've read. So,
cool.
Yeah, I read something.
Excellent. Podcasts?
Sure, I don't have anything new.
All right.
I don't have anything new either.
All right, well then.
All you.
It's all about me.
It's all about you.
Two podcasts. One is called Something True, where this narrator finds a subject and delves deep into a nugget of history that's not well known. And like, there's a million podcasts out there like this. What separates this one from pretty much everyone else is the actual narrator's delivery makes almost everything he say drip with sarcasm, and it's hilarious.
It's all about the delivery.
He adds his own little nuggets. Is like I think this is how they would have approached the situation and basically told them. Just, I don't know. I find it hilarious. And the other one is Our Fake History. Again, they find history kind of thing, and this guy dissects it and is like, okay, we all know this to be true, but is it? And then goes to the earliest sources, and it's kind of interesting. Like, he'll go all the way back to Babylonian texts and things like that.
Oh, cool.
And tear things apart. Like, he went through the whole Troy and Minos sort of myths and things like that. It's kind of cool. I like
that. Awesome.
That's me for podcasts.
Oh, well, keep going.
All right, then, movies.
Do it.
I've not watched anything really new, but I did watch Guardians of the Galaxy again, prepping myself for the...
you could do worse.
That sounds like a fine plan.
Exactly. Yeah, it's, you know what, it's not high art.
It's highly enjoyable, though.
It's not high art, but it's damn enjoyable.
Yep.
And that soundtrack just nails it for me for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's
that
pretty
is
good.
My youth. And the other one is I revisited Tropic Thunder.
Which is great.
With, what's his face? Being Len, agent.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so brilliant. Him.
So where did you watch it?
It's on Netflix, man.
So does it include the trailer, the fake trailers?
I believe so. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
because those are the best.
The was it the ass juice or something?
Oh, there's some good
booty
ones.
Juice.
Booty juice. There's booty juice.
Booty sweat.
Yes, booty sweat.
And bust the nut.
And then there's the fake trailers for
Robert Downey
Jr.'s The Priest,
The Forbidden Love,
which is still they should really make that movie. It would be amazing.
That'd be awesome.
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, so
okay, I'll have to remember
both
the
I,
there.
You know, they're neither one of them are high art, but they're both weirdly enjoyable
well
in their
oh,
own
for
way.
For sure, yeah. For sure.
Just don't go the full retard.
Oh, that is best. Good advice. Yeah. Good advice, Dale. What you got for movies?
I watched Monster Trucks,
and.
It was a TV movie. It was kind of a fun. It was exactly what it promised it would be. It was a Disney kids TV movie.
Is that the one with the monster in the truck?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's not Disney.
It felt like Disney.
Okay.
If it wasn't Disney, I mean,
I don't think it is.
I just
think
assumed it was
Fox. Touchstone.
No, or, I think it's a Fox.
I
Fox
kind
or
of,
Sony, I can't remember.
I enjoyed the hell out of it, actually. I mean, but it is exactly what it promises to be.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't appeal to you.
Exactly.
But I got kind of a Tom Hanks, like, oh, what haven't I seen in the catalog? So
nothing wrong with that.
Larry Crowe and Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
Very different movies. Wasn't a waste. They aren't to me going to be the ones he's remembered for.
Yeah.
I watched Silverado, which I had never seen before, and
really?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
I thought for sure that would be one that you'd seen in the past.
I remember when it came out, and I was like, I was in this real kind of dickhead, I hate Westerns kind of a thing. And so I didn't see it. Well, it's like I missed out. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And I've been like trolling the best 100 list for movies that I might enjoy that I haven't seen before. So Philadelphia Story, The Wild Bunch, and The Apartment. So,
The apartment
is like 1940, with Shirley MacLaine. No. And
this is one I haven't seen.
It was really interesting.
Yeah, like, no, it's on my watch list. I just haven't gotten to see it.
It was a real fascinating. I mean, as much as movies are ever like the total reality of the time, but they do have an essence of the time. So, this whole big corporate. Like establishment with just worker minions and that whole, it was kind of, and then the story, like the thing that really blew me away with Philadelphia Story in The Apartment was we always hear about how, you know, the good old days and how things have gone for shit in modern times. And then you see movies like that and it's like, yeah, things haven't changed.
No.
Like social mores, like The Apartment is basically, the premise of the story is about poor Jack Lemmon has an apartment and he's kind of an underling. So he's lending his apartment to like four of his bosses for favors so they can bring their affairs someplace in downtown New York. It's like, yeah, that was like the moral 60s, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Or 50s actually is more. When,
yeah.
And Philadelphia Story, which was 1940. What actually that was interesting because the story starts with Cary Grant striking Katharine Hepburn, only they do it in a very stylized kind of way, but it's clear as the story progresses that he probably hit her. So we're talking about spouse abuse, but it's kind of this romantic comedy around some very mature subjects that you don't usually associate with the 40s because of all the moralistic crap. So it was an interesting watch on that. And the acting was just, I think it must have been based on a play.
Yeah,
it kind of felt, the dialogue felt like, but the dialogue was great. The acting was great. It was a lot of fun.
So I'm curious, what top 100 list are you using?
I just Googled top 100. So AFI.
Okay.
And
I was just curious.
There was one other magazine. And I checked the Rotten Tomatoes one too. And a lot of the movies tend to find, the same movies find their way to the... The Rotten Tomato one is a little bit BS because it's based on reviews, so some of the stuff isn't well reviewed. The older ones,
yeah.
But yeah, Marine Raiders, 1944. It couldn't decide whether it wanted to be a war propaganda movie or a rom com. It really sucked.
That is two interesting things to bring together.
I don't know. Again, you've heard me say it before, but I'm kind of fascinated by the old war movies. And the last one was Colossal.
Oh,
Nacho Vigalondo. Yeah.
Nice.
It's
she didn't call me. I would have gone.
I really liked it. They totally mismarketed it. It's, the movie is not what I expected it to be based on the trailers.
I don't think it
in
was
a good way.
I don't think it was mismarketing. I think that was purpose.
Well, I can't say too much about the story without spoiling it, so I won't. But it's not primarily a monster movie. The monsters are there, but they're very much secondary to the plot. It's really a character-driven plot about, how can I zone on her name?
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway. Life is a total train wreck, and she goes back to her hometown, and it is, alcohol addiction she's dealing with. So it's a story about alcohol addiction and abuse in the end, but it is done so well. that I enjoyed the hell out of it too.
Oh, good. It's on my watch list.
Sweet.
Is that it? What else you got?
I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I got some stuff. I've been busy. So I went to see Beauty and the Beast, unsurprisingly. You missed out.
I did.
It was pretty awesome. I got way more emotional than I thought I would. And I don't even know why, because it's not even my favorite Disney movie. But yeah, when the music started, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like 14 again. This is amazing. It really was that feeling like I've just been transported and I'm a tween. It was something else. So it certainly has that going for it. And it was just really sweet. And Emma Watson is just great. Ghost in the Shell. It's got problems.
I heard, yeah.
It's not totally terrible. It's just very vacant. It's certainly, Dan and I rewatched the anime, which now feels a bit dated just because so much has been borrowed from it and it's been reused so much over the years since its release. But that said, it's still kind of messy. Like, it's really confusing. Like, we watched it basically twice, and there are parts that still don't make sense.
I'm glad you said that. I only watched the anime for the first time, I think at the beginning of this year, or maybe it was the end of last year. And I felt the same way. Like, I could see how when it first came out, it would be mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that territory, maybe they were, you know, spotted the way, but...
Yeah, and this is it. I think. I think it certainly deserves all of the accolades for some of its ideas, but some of it is very, very messy.
It's like watching Citizen Kane almost, you know, in today's thing. It's like you're like, well, what's the.
Yeah.
And then you hear, oh, it was the first time that this and this. And
yeah, this is exactly it. So, I mean, it still feels, one thing I will say for it, it still looks amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still cutting edge anime. I mean, the medium has come a long way in the years since, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's still, like, visually, it's still super impressive. So the live action remake, not the worst thing ever, certainly not the best thing ever. Scarlett Johansson is just kind of serviceable. Like, she's really good. She's a great physical actress, but the movie just doesn't have any, it just has no soul. It's just very, very pretty with not much else going on. The best thing about it is the score and the visuals, but the score is spectacular. So Clint Mansell wins again. I watched The Beguiled, the Clint Eastwood movie from the 70s, yeah. Based on the book that Sofia Coppola has remade, which will play at Cannes. So I had read the book, so I thought, oh, well, let's track down the movie. Really solid, really sexually explicit for the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the 70s, like, were already kind of like, you could get a lot, away with a lot of shit, but... yeah, like at one point there's a threesome and I'm like, did I just really watch that? It was something else, and it's really good. And Clint Eastwood is really good in it. directed by Don Siegel, who was like an Eastwood favorite at the time. They did Dirty Harry together and a bunch of other movies. So
from what I've seen of pictures of Civil War soldiers from back in the day, he was hot. there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't Clint Eastwood in the 70s was hot.
Exactly.
Like, come on. Really? It was quite something. Dan at one point walked by. He's like, is that Clint Eastwood? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in his, Roddy Yates days back on Rawhide.
Rawhide. Wow.
Oh, God. That's Dan. That would have been like Dan's roundhouse right there.
That was actually before Dan's time.
This was 50s.
Yeah, no, he would have watched it. His mom was kind
so
of
so young in that.
Oh, God almighty.
Baby face.
I didn't. Dan and I are quite close. I have a few years on him, but there's a bit of overlap. Like, he got into Transformers and I was like done with watching that kind of TV before Transformers, for example, but we're in the zone on Star Wars.
And his mom was really into country music and westerns.
Rawhide is black and white old TV that didn't make it into reruns like some of the other shows did.
Oh, okay.
So I would be really amazed if he saw Rawhide as a kid.
If anything, he probably remembers bits and pieces of it from his mom.
I would be surprised. No. It's that much earlier.
I didn't realize, like, it was that early.
Clint Eastwood, by the time that we were aware of media going on, it was like the Dirty Harry kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that was long after.
Wow.
Yeah.
He really was a baby.
He was. He was.
That Have you whole seen pictures of his son?
No.
His son looks like he did when he was young.
I think I've seen pictures of his daughter.
Oh, I didn't even realize he had a daughter.
Oh, maybe it's just a very effeminate looking kid. I don't know.
He's very pretty faced. Yeah. He really is. I also watched Gleason, New Orleans football player who retired and then developed ALS.
Oh, that wasn't the
one
I thought it was.
He basically started, he found out his... He and his wife found out they were pregnant shortly after he was diagnosed, or maybe just before he was diagnosed. So he started basically recording his life for as a diary for his son. Really, really fascinating, because he basically goes from this guy who's just trying to keep a diary for his son to becoming like a spokesperson for ALS and starting a charity. That's what his life became. And then he made an active choice to step back from that and to leave the charity to like run itself, kind of like his dad. I think his family runs it now, and he's just concentrating on being a father. And he's still suffering from ALS. Obviously, it's like you can't cure it. The Ice Bucket Challenge was something that his group sort of put forth. It's really, really fascinating, really touching, just really a really solid documentary. It is streaming on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
So there's that. I got to see Maudie finally. the movie that everybody raved about at VIFF that I missed. Mm-hmm. About
totally not on my radar.
About Maud Lewis, the Canadian folk artist.
The painter.
Yeah, the painter who lived with her crotchety husband.
Crotchety, there's that word again.
Yes, he really was.
Sound like quite the dick.
He did. He was kind of like the way he comes across in the movie, he was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
So it stars Ethan Hawke and what's her name now? Sally Hawkins. And it's just really, really charming and really well done. And the performances are excellent. And it's just a really nice movie. It's playing at the Fifth Avenue. I'm sure it's still playing at the Fifth Avenue.
Cool.
Yeah, the Greys love it. Or the Blue Hairs.
The Blue Hairs. The Silver Tsunami.
They love it. It's amazing. Yeah. But the performances are excellent. And it's a really nice movie. And it's really, really well made by the director that also made Fingersmith a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Aisling Walsh. So, female director, bonus.
Hooray.
I also finally saw Prevenge with Alice Lowe about the pregnant woman who kills people because her baby's telling her to. Written, directed, produced, and starring Alice Lowe. It's amazing. Dan watched it with me and he's like, this movie is fucked. I'm like, yes, it is. And you know, it's funny because it's one of these things that like you're watching it and it's like terrible in that horror movie like kind of thing, like where stuff is happening. You're like, oh, it's a horror movie. So yeah, things are kind of gross. And then you think about it later and like, but they weren't just gross. They were kind of mean too. And then you start to really get into the nitty gritty of it. And you're like, okay, this movie is really fucked. So highly recommend it. It's really good.
Nice.
Yeah. We'd make a great double bill with Inside. Yeah, there's that. Hypernormalization. This is Adam Curtis's documentary from last year. He's a BBC, mostly BBC documentarian. He's made like tons of documentaries for BBC. This one is about, it's like almost 3 hours long and I couldn't stop watching it. It's on YouTube if anybody is like looking for it. You don't even have to look that hard. It's going to air on BBC in the UK sometime in the next coming weeks. But it's basically about how the world, according to Curtis, how we got to where we are today, starting with from like the 1950s. It's fascinating. Some of it feels kind of like pulling at straws, and some of it's kind of like, holy fuck, how did we not see that coming?
I love those kinds of programs.
Yeah, I literally couldn't stop watching it. I basically watched the entire 3 hours in one sitting. Like, I paused it once to go to the bathroom. And that's unlike me when I'm watching something on my iPad. I just couldn't look away. It's fascinating. And I mean, he wears his politics on his sleeve. So it's not like, you know, it is what it is. And some of it you kind of like, well, you know, that could be reading something that isn't really there. But it's still like really, really interesting to watch. And like I say, YouTube it, it's there. I finally saw Passengers. with Chris Pratt and
Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, and
I didn't hate it. I didn't like the ending.
Yeah,
I really had issues with the ending because it.
We should do a podcast on Passengers with Victoria.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm mentioning someone who's not in our podcast space, but a mutual friend. She and I think, have talked for at least 3 hours
space on Passengers.
And,
that's interesting.
And the premise and what the movie did right and wrong. It is an okay movie with some, for me, moral problems, but as a discussion vehicle, it's proved to be incredible fodder.
Yeah, I actually didn't have as much issue as I thought I would with. Can we talk a little bit spoiler? It's been out for a while.
Can we? Yeah, I feel like we can because of the controversy, but I don't know.
And the basic controversy is the fact that. Okay, so Colleen, I don't know if you can watch this.
Probably not.
Okay, so the basic premise is that Chris Pratt's awakened by some glitch in the system. And a year later, he wakes up Jennifer Lawrence because he basically doesn't want to be by himself anymore. And so this idea...
Now, and in waking her up, he essentially sentences her to murder.
Yeah, to death.
To death because
they're still 90 years or something away from the planet where they're supposed to be landing.
Yeah, and she had no choice in whether she woke up or not.
Exactly. So I thought... From what everybody said about it, I thought I would have... And the reason I waited so long to see it was because I had serious issues about the morality of that. Having seen the movie, my issues are still there, but they're not as pronounced as I thought they would be. I think the way that it was handled tempered that for me a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, where to the point where I could actually watch the movie. I actually had more problems with the ending, which I thought was kind of stupid, more than anything else, but I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either. Like, I agree. Like, I just don't think it would be realistic the way Jennifer Lawrence's character handled it after the initial thing, yeah, and then over time for them to come to their romantic ending, I was not happy with the direction it took, and I also was not happy with how they handled Lawrence Fishburne's character. Which was just basically kind of a trope thing they threw in there as a plot.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of problems with it, but I thought I would have more issues with the morality of that decision than I actually did.
Okay.
So, I mean, I still wouldn't recommend it. Like, I wouldn't say you have to see this movie. It has some interesting ideas. Certainly great for conversation, but it's not a must watch. It's kind of there. The ship design is really awesome.
I mean, production quality was great.
Super high.
Why didn't he wake up like an engineer that could fix the glitch?
They have a really shitty solution for that.
Okay.
And then I watched Your Name, which is kind of, it's anime.
Oh, that's the anime, yeah.
Yeah, so this is Makoto Shinkai's new film, which made $1 gazillion in Japan last year. It was like the biggest box office draw there. And it's slowly been opening everywhere and killing it. And it is not the movie the trailer suggests it's going to be. So I was expecting one movie and then I got something totally different and it was not what I expected. It is a little bit sci-fi-ish. It has too many endings, which is a Shinkai problem. It really is. It happens in a couple of his movies. He has one ending and then, 10 minutes later, he has another one. So there is that. But generally speaking, it's really, really well made. It's stunningly beautiful. Like, the anime is just on another level. And it's just a really great story. I'd be surprised if people didn't like this movie. It's a little bit of something for everybody. It's a little bit of romance. There's a little bit of science. There's a little bit of drama, you know. It's good. It's totally solid. And that's my watching for the last couple of weeks.
Cool.
I've been busy.
Sweet.
What you got for TV?
Two shows. Netflix, of course, since I don't generally watch TV. Although I have been watching The Last Man on Earth.
Because it's amazing.
Yeah.
The 100 is back.
Yeah, I watched that last episode.
After a small hiatus, I was very happy to see it back.
Yeah. The two shows I'm going to talk about, one is The Get Down, the second half of the season finally dropped.
I still haven't seen it.
I love The Get Down. Nothing about the show disappoints, and much like the first half of the it's not serialized. They're like, this is the end. Like, it was a two-parter in six parts each or something. So just like the first half, where the last episode ended in like an epic sort of like rap battle going on, it happens again. This time it's the Get Down Boys against basically disco. Oh my God, it's freaking awesome. Everything about this show I love. I adore it.
Nice.
Sex, violence,
music,
graffiti, music, rap. Yeah, it's good. And the other one is my severe disappointment of the last month. Bill Nye Saves the World.
Oh, not good?
It is literally unwatchable.
Oh, I'll take it off my list.
It is, like, I love Bill Nye from Almost Live. When he had his kids show, I kind of was on board that too. It's preachy. Like, preachy to the extreme, to the point, like, he spends more time pointed directly at the camera, like, breaking the fourth wall kind of thing, and yelling at the audience, like, and the viewers, like, this is insanity, like, just going off and on and on, and then he'll get his experts to debate it, and the debate is laughable. Like, if you are already 100% on board, you're not going to disagree with him.
Uh-huh.
If you are basically on the fence, you're probably not going to be convinced by this because he's yelling at you. Mm-hmm. And if you are a denier, you're not going to watch this because he spends the whole time mocking and basically yelling at you.
It
was really sad. I gave it 3 episodes, and it was 3 episodes I really wish I could get my time back. It's just brutal.
Are you watching The Last Kingdom on Netflix?
No, I'm not.
You should.
I should? Is that the Viking one? Or is it Roman?
No, it's early Britain.
Early Britain.
Yeah, it's good. Like, it's kind of, it's not like glorified pretty. It's kind of dirty and messy, and the acting is really solid.
Yeah, no, I haven't been.
It's good.
Okay, I'll think about it. And that's me for TV/Netflix.
Mr. Dale.
Why don't you go next?
Oh, okay. I will definitely go next.
Alrighty.
So Bates Motel is over. Dan and I had a drink during the last episode. It was very good. It was a good, solid ending. I kind of really love that show.
Oh, yeah?
It was just sort of like the right mix of like weirdness and creepiness and just kind of silly, but I mean, not in like a funny way. It kind of just walked the right line.
I gave up after about the second season because it suffered from that will it be on this week or not sort of syndrome. And it was all over the place, and I just haven't been able to get back into it.
Yeah, that seems to be the case with like almost all of cable TV. Yeah. It's like they take like mid-something hiatus and then another mid-something hiatus. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
So I should share with you the tracking system I use because I do have an app that helps me with that. So I always know when there's a new episode of something.
Yeah, but I like to plan my life from passing out from work.
Well, I can highly say, I can say that you should maybe give it a go because it ends in a great, great way.
I think it might be on Netflix. So once
probably.
Yeah.
Because the finale aired like, we're recording this now. So it aired like last week.
Cool.
Or the week before.
So I'll hunt it down and basically binge it again.
It's good. And Eddie Redmayne. Freddie Highmore is awesome.
Yeah.
And he actually directed like the second to last episode.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's kind of neat. I highly recommend it. It was great. Black Sails is over. I want to cry. I don't have this show to look forward to anymore. I'm really, really sad. Great ending. They kind of left it so that if, you know, 10 years from now they decide to want to throw more money at it, they could pick up. Maybe not exactly where they left off, but things were sort of wrapped up nicely and still left enough to kind of continue on if they wanted to. I love this show. Cannot recommend it highly enough. People really need to be watching it. It's amazing. Zed the Beginning of Everything, which is a show on Amazon. It stars Christina Ricci as Zelda Fitzgerald. And it's about basically the early years of Zelda Fitzgerald and F. Scott Fitzgerald, just as he's about to write the first season was just before he wrote The Great Gatsby.
Nice.
Before The Great Gatsby. So it's 30-minute episodes, like 20-some-odd-minute episodes. There's only 10 of them, so it's pretty quick to watch. Really well done. Ricci can be really good with good material, and she's really good here. And it's basically the story from her perspective.
Unlike the Lizzie Borden Chronicles.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Which is really fucking terrible.
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 That's the word for it.
Yeah. And finally, I cannot recommend the show enough, The Handmaid's Tale. It is on Showcase in Canada, on Hulu in the States. They're like 3 or 4 episodes in. Best TV right now.
Did you catch Margot Atwood's cameo?
Yes, I did. It's kind of hard to miss because, you know. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. If you don't know her, it's obviously impossible to miss, impossible to spot. But if you know what she looks like, then yes. It was pretty, like, I'm like, oh, look, there's Margaret Atwood.
I love the marketing they did that for that, where they hired a bunch of women to wear the actual costume and just go to, like, South by Southwest and
the
all these different things.
The show is amazing.
They did a really good, like, it's 3 episodes in, it's way better than the movie was.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I'm loving how they're getting the history in.
Yes,
in addition
me too.
To the present day. Because I
me
mean,
too.
The interesting thing is the present day of the show has kind of feels like it might have been some kind of pastime, and then they throw in the history, and you realize.
Yes.
How it's tied together, and it just makes it that much stronger.
And I mean, I'm not even being sarcastic. The opening 10 minutes of episode 3, where the women are basically all fired and they can't access their funds. I'm like, and this is the beginning of the end, and this is the fucking scariest thing I have seen on TV in like 10 years, because it is so close to the reality that we live in. It's scary. It literally scared me. I'm like, this could happen and we could just let it happen. And this is like the morality of the show. Like, it could just happen and you let it happen because you think it's in your best interest. And then the next thing you know, it's not. And that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It legit scared the shit out of me. I had to stop. I stopped the episode and I had to go back to it. I couldn't watch anymore.
I think if you had just watched the beginning of like the 3rd episode all by itself, it wouldn't have that same impact. But
probably not.
But with the setup of the show,
because
it's they amazing. Do a bunch of other setup. Like it isn't like it's present day and that happens right away. Mm-hmm. The insidiousness of the way that it happened is definitely one of the things that makes the show really visceral and creepy.
It's been probably easily 20 years since I read Handmaid's Tale. And perhaps it's because, one, I was young, and two, we were living in a different world when I read that the first time. I remember loving the book, but it didn't have like that visceral experience. And I don't know if it would have that same impact now. I wonder how I haven't read it in like 20 years, and I'm thinking, if I read it now, will I take something different from it, where we are today and how old I am now? And
well, you undoubtedly will. Yeah.
Yeah. So this
but
is
whether
the
it would
thing.
Have the same impact.
This is it. And I mean, it's worth noting that Atwood is adapting her own material for the screen. Like, she is pretty much the only credited writer on the series.
Cool.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, and they incorporated like Tinder and some other modern Uber modern references.
Yeah, for sure. Can't recommend it highly
hands
enough.
Up.
It's my,
or thumbs up.
Yeah, it's my favorite show on TV at the moment. Oh, well, that and Anne. I should mention the new Anne of Green Gables, which is simply called Anne. When it premieres on Netflix, I think sometime in the middle of May, it will be called Anne with an E. Why, I don't know. But it is probably it is easily the best Anne of Green Gables adaptation since, you know, the original Anne of Green Gables adaptation. It's really, really solid. Really well written. Really well acted. The little girl is amazing. But the writing and the delivery is really what sells it. The show is great. I cannot recommend it highly enough. So, yeah. New Anne of Green Gables is great.
I saw it. I kind of had no interest. But
no, it's not for everybody. But if
I might change my mind now.
No, like the writing is really, really, really good.
But I might skip that episode and watch the Murdoch Mysteries where sure. Crabapple or Crabtree basically has a romantic sort of moment with Lucy Maud Montgomery.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It's kind of everything that I loved about Anne of Green Gables, slightly updated. But I mean, the little girl is amazing. But the delivery is, it's kind of what you remember, what I remember loving about the original. You know, I still love the original, but this is a great new interpretation. Moira killed it. That's all I gotta say.
Hooray!
What else? What you got, Dale?
Broadchurch ended its third season. It is just a winner of a show.
That's what everybody says.
Yep. They handled, it was a rape case that they were dealing with, and I thought they did an exceptional job of like the details without getting bogged down of kind of the impacts that has and the challenges of doing the investigation of that. And just, I mean, David Tennant and, oh, I've forgotten her name now, but the chemistry between the two main characters.
That's going to bother me. I really like her.
Just Coleman?
Yes. What is her first name though? Okay, yeah, sorry.
I mean, that is, like, just, I don't know. He's playing the cranky old detective, and she's not cheery, but she's a little bit more optimistic, and she has her cranky moments, and just well done. I never watched The Good Wife, but I am now a fan of The Good Fight. That is kind of a spinoff with Christina Baranski.
Oh, I saw the trailers for that. I thought it looked like it could be fun. I just really like her.
I am really liking the writing on the show. Rose Leslie, she was the reason that I got intrigued, actually, because I really liked Ygritte from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Her character here isn't the most, by any sense, the most interesting character. Baranski is having a great time. There's another character who apparently came in the last season of The Good Wife, who continued over to this one. She's great. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. And some of the topics they've had have been really fun too. Fargo's back.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Is it ever back? What a doozy of an opening episode.
Oh man, I still haven't made my peace. I don't know if I'm into this third season or not, but
so I tell you,
I'm
this,
along for the ride.
Dan and I tried to watch the first episode of season 3. Dan fell asleep, so we turned it off. And then I finished it because I figured he'd have no interest. And then he's like, the other day we were watching TV, he's like, is that Fargo on? I'm like, yes, episode 2 is out. He's like, oh, we should watch it. I'm like, you didn't watch episode 1. He's like, what could I have missed? And I'm trying to explain to him what he's missed, right? So I'm like, well, not a whole lot happened. And then I explained to him, I'm like, Jesus, they crammed a lot of shit into one episode. So as we're going along, pause, I'm like, we should probably just watch the end of episode 1. You're going to get confused.
You know what? The thing about Fargo that I absolutely love is you have that batshit crazy opening, and then they cut to Minnesota. So the opening, this, I'm not giving any away, is, right? The opening is in East Germany.
It's
some bizarre kind of Brazil kind of opening going on. And then they cut to Minnesota, and you're like, I trust these guys. They're going to close the loop, but it's like, it's going to be a ride to get there. Holy crap.
You did watch Legion, right? And you've seen the first three seasons of Fargo.
That's what I love about Legion, too. Yeah.
I mean, I still the best thing about Fargo was the episode in season 2 where there's a spaceship fucking nowhere. I'm like, this, I love this guy. He gets me.
Yeah, I still don't know about that scene,
I
but
love
there
it.
You go.
Love it.
This is on, I think, mainstream, but it's a sitcom called Speechless with Minnie Driver, and it's about, she plays the mother of a kid with cerebral palsy.
Yes, I vaguely remember seeing a trailer for this.
It is a lot of fun. I don't know whether I'm going to get tired of it, because it is the kind of thing where you might overdo it, but it's only a half hour show.
No.
And the actor playing the kid with cerebral palsy actually has cerebral palsy. I double checked that. I don't think quite as bad as the character he's playing, but the acting, I mean, the situations in the acting are such a hell of a lot of fun sometimes. And the family isn't like this perfect kind of family. They're very much kind of, well, maybe not quite as bad as the Bundy family, but I mean, there's some definite parallels of Married with Children where these characters are kind of not redeemable, but like there's one episode where he's like explaining to his daughter, no, we're not mean. We're idiots. Like we're not assholes. No, he does use assholes, but, we're not assholes. We're idiots. So anyway, a lot of fun. Dear White People, new on Netflix.
Yes. I like the movie. I haven't seen the show yet.
I haven't seen the movie.
The movie's good.
It's so far, I'm a bunch of episodes in. Each episode is based on a different character. So my enjoyment has been pretty much on how I identified the character. Sometimes it's like, oh, this one, and it's like, oh, that was good. And other times it's like, oh, well, okay. The story progressed.
But, yeah.
But yeah, I'm enjoying that. And last one, I have not really been following Doctor Who for a long time, but I was reading on the sci-fi things about his new companion is supposed to, like the chemistry between them is supposed to be great. It is.
Bill. Yeah, I like Bill.
Man, these two together, it's just like, I just enjoy watching them act off of each other. So it actually started watching Doctor Who again. It's
nice.
It's been fun.
You know the character trait of Bill I like the best is when she's confused, she smiles. What?
I don't watch Doctor Who, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I stopped watching because I'm not a big fan of the new guy. And I you know what?
What, you don't like Peter Capaldi?
Not in this role.
He's not my favorite.
Not in this role all that much. Especially because they tried to do things different. He had the sonic sunglasses. Scratch that. He's like playing the electric guitar, being all cool and that. I'm like going, no, Doctor was never even remotely cool.
I haven't watched Doctor Who since about season 3 or season 4. Mm. And even then, that was long enough ago. It was before I had any kind of time shifting stuff reliable, so I didn't even see all of the episodes in those seasons. I just kind of like it wasn't compelling enough to keep me watching, and I checked in on a couple episodes every now and then, and I saw Capaldi's first episode. I think I made it halfway through, and it was like, eh. But with Bill, and plus, this season has a little bit of a different feel to it. Like it almost feels like they're deliberately starting over. Like as she's learning things, he actually explained what TARDIS meant, which I have not seen in, well, of course I haven't been watching a lot of the episodes, but I think for a lot of the fan base, it's like reductive, right? But
yeah.
It's like, no, we're going to start explaining everything from scratch. And it's been kind of fun. It's kind of felt a little bit fresh, actually.
Oh, okay.
Season 10, who knew?
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah, well, you know what? They can't do worse than Rose, which, Ace from the... I could just go into a huge Doctor Who rampage that dwells the last like 30-40 years kind of thing. Let's not go there.
Okay.
And let's just say that Bill is pretty cool. Rose sucked and Ace was an abomination for companions. That pretty much sums up Doctor Who.
I don't remember Ace. Rose was
Oh, I hated Rose. Ugh.
Anything else, or is that does that wrap up the TV?
I think that wraps up the TV. I mean, I'm watching all of my old, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back. Actually, they did something fun. They came up with a plot premise that is actually they're agents of Hydra right now.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's kind of fun. But it's there's a bunch of shows I'm watching that I've talked about already. So
yeah.
Oh, at work, one of the guys and myself was playing the Who Would You Cast game for a live-action Archer. And there was a lot of names that got thrown around, and the one I liked the best actually was Christina Bransky as Mallory.
Yeah, that's kind of a given. I think
I think she'd be brilliant at it. But you can't cast the actual person who voices them.
Oh no, yeah. See that because no. The
H. John Benjamin does not get to be Archer.
No, I don't think H. John Benjamin gets to be Archer, but his girlfriend gets to play his girlfriend. I wish I could remember her name.
Lana Kane.
So who would play Archer?
There was all sorts, but for some reason, the one that stuck in my head. Oh, I think we were waffling between Amy Schumer for Pam. Or what was the other lead? Someone else. Anyways, it was a weird game because I'm 40. I'm in my mid 40s, and this guy's in his like mid 20s. And I'm like half the people he's listing. You're going, who are you talking
to? Dude,
about?
I have you beat. So Claudia and I went to go and see Snoop Dogg with. No, listen to this lineup. So it was Redman and Method Man, Cypress Hill. And Snoop Dogg, wow. All on the same bill.
That's quite the bill, man.
Yeah.
It's like 1998 all over again.
Dude, the kids behind us were 14.
What?
I fucking kid you not. So we're sitting down. We're doing our thing. Claudia at some point turns around. We're talking to the kids behind us. We're like, how old are you? For 14. I'm like... this can't happen. I can't talk to you anymore. Claudia had a deep conversation with him. She laid some hard truths on these kids.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny, but I'm like, really? This is really, really sad. And I'm like,
talking to us, Grandma.
I mean, you've seen my sister, right?
Yeah.
They were more than happy to be talking to Claudia. And I'm like, when did I last see Cypress Hill? Oh God, like 20 years ago. It's been longer than you've been alive.
Grandpa Cypress Hill.
Pretty much. Yeah. They were, for the record, they were really, really great.
Yeah.
Redman didn't care for. Method Man was amazing.
Method Man usually is.
Cypress Hill killed it. Three songs into Snoop Dogg, I was ready to go.
I was never a fan of Snoop Dogg.
No.
Method Man was pretty... Yeah.
For me, it was all about Cypress Hill, really, but Method Man was pretty badass. But yeah, that was my throwback.
Nice.
And in a couple of weeks, we get to see you too. So
there you go.
I can knock that off the list. But I've got nothing else.
I haven't seen Bobby Bruce in ages. I need to go see Bobby Bruce.
No idea.
He's the world's greatest Neil Diamond impersonator.
Oh, he's actually pretty good. Is he Nearly Neil?
Nearly Neil, yeah.
He's really good.
His actual name is Bobby Bruce.
He is in, actually, he's in the movie group.
Oh, is he?
Just so you know.
Oh, serious?
Yes.
Awesome. At one point, I had him sign my chest. It was brilliant.
He was at one of the Oscar parties that we did at one point. And I remember looking at him and I said to him, I know you from somewhere. And he's like, maybe you've seen me at the casino. I'm like, why would I have seen you at the casino? He's like, I am Nearly Neil and I nearly shit my pants. I'm like, I have totally seen you at the casino more than once.
Nearly Neil's fantastic.
He is pretty amazing.
So for the record, I can only see Aisha Tyler playing Lana Kane.
There you go.
I don't know.
I actually know who that is. So, hey.
Yeah. There was a few that we thought locked down, the Mallory thing. Who the hell did we have for Cecil? I don't know, Danny Glover or something. It was a weird typecast, and I was like, you know what? I think we can run with that.
Pam Poovey. Who would play Pam Poovey?
Well, we were talking about Amy Schumer.
Yeah, Schumer would make a good Poovey.
He threw out Melissa McCartney. I'm like, maybe, but yeah, I think Amy Schumer would.
Schumer would nail it better. Yeah.
She'd nail the sort of like, wait a second, I'm drinking. What? That's not what happens on the dairy farm. You see the bull cow mount some... Yeah. Wait.
And that's why it's not in live action.
Yeah.
And with that, come on by Bible3.com. Check out the links to all of the stuff we've talked about today. There will be linkage.
Linkage.
And we will be back soon, probably with updates from the 24-hour movie marathon.
Hooray.
Shit's happening. Dale, looking at you. and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the June preview.
Nice.
And the stuff that's coming out in June. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Then we talk or sit side. listen to our thoughts, illusions of someday, cast in a golden light, no dress rehearsal, this is our life.
Disappointing news kit.